Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
Good evening. Praise the Lord.
Good evening.
We do want to say each and everyone welcome to the show this evening. We do give an honor to God, our Lord and Savior, thanking him for another opportunity, thanking him for life, health, and strength, giving us a chance to be able to come together once again to just give a little encouraging word or be able to share some encouraging words to each other that may help the old as well as the young men. This is a spiritual-based show. We believe in doing it by the word of God, by scripture, and by the will of God to just do what's right. And we would like everyone to just join us and just listen in. And if we have any callers that come in later on that want to share some encouraging words for our young men, our old men, save men, we just would ask that each and everyone would just have the respect and honor the way the show goes. At this time, we're going to have our prayer for our family members, our loved ones, our ministry, the sick and the needy, our police force, our children that are getting prepared to go back to school, the teachers that they're very short on and needing teachers within the school to teach our children, the safety of them. We want to pray for our shows that we have on Crown Talking Drum. Each and every member that's involved with the show, that we continue to do the work of that the Lord has given us to do. We're going to see if our bishop has any requests or anything that he would like to put out there.
The only thing that tonight, so after the prayer, we will have a discussion about a lie, the lie. The lie comes to an end. And the reason the Holy Spirit put that in my spirit as a topic tonight is because of so many lies I've been hearing from the top always to the bottom. And
that's true.
And it comes out that Satan is the father of lies.
Yes.
And I've been wondering, why is this so many people following a liar? And what is it that that liar is saying? And the reality is, it is the lie itself. And that will come to an end.
Yes. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and have our prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you once again, as humble as we know how, thanking you for all that you continue to do for us and all of your many blessings when we wake up early in the morning of a new day of your mercy and grace. Nothing good that we've done, but all because of your Son, Jesus, has done it all for us, dear God, that we may be able to come together and have a closer walk through his word and the Spirit of God that work within our lives, that we live a true, holy life before you, Lord. We thank you for just giving us the opportunity, Lord, to share amongst all the people around and about on this radio station and the internet, that it may reach someone somewhere. And we'll continue, Lord, to do what thus saith the Lord. We want to be real with everything that we do, dear God. We don't want to be unreal with anything. We don't want to come out and not be honest about anything. We want to have everything according to the word of God in truth and spirit. Lord, we know that you are able to do everything for and beyond that we could ever ask for. There's no wrong in you. Everything you do for us, dear God, is out of love. And we have to show that same love that Jesus Christ has for us, for one another. Help us, Lord, to show that love and be that person that you have called us out to be as a Christian on this journey, that we live life according to the will and the word of God. Lord, we just want to do the best that we know how to do. We ask that you bless our ministry, dear God, and just continue to give them strength, Lord, because they go through so much day in and day out, being overseer of the people, and people don't realize their struggles that they have to go through. So, Lord, we ask that you bless all of our leaders up to our nation leaders. And, Lord, we ask that you work within their lives because we have, as it's been already stated, so many lies that people's listening to, trusting and believing in the lies that's been told us. When we, as God's people, have that discerning spirit to know right from wrong, and we don't want to follow the lies that's been told us, we want to follow the word of God that we know is true in all ways. Lord, we ask that you bless this show tonight, each and every person. We give you honor and praise, and all glory belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you opened up, Bishop, we'll let you go ahead and explain our topic and get us started as we come together on this topic tonight.
Yeah, I've been, I guess, what can I say? I've just been astounded at the fact that I've been hearing a lie for the last 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing people who have sold their souls to the liar.
Mm-hmm.
And who have taken the lie to be the truth.
Yes.
Who have taken the lie as if it is of the divine order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder, and I'm not just speaking about Christians. I'm speaking to all people now. I'm wondering, what is it about this season that we in that's causing people to lie and causing people to think that it is okay to lie? And I went to Webster, to the dictionary, and I started looking it up. And a lie, it says, a lie is an assertion that is believed to be false, typically used with the purpose of deceiving someone. The practice of communicating lies is called lying. But the purpose of a lie is to deceive someone. And whenever you think about that and you put it in the biblical context, you come into an understanding. And the other one that I found, it says, purpose. For many lives, the reasons are complicated. Sometimes it is to protect the liar from being punished,
mm-hmm.
or to protect someone else from punishment. The lie might be to avoid being embarrassed, to hide an awkward situation, or to simply have others think better of the person telling the lie. And, yeah, I stopped there because in this season and this time, it's as if people have forgotten the purpose, what the purpose of the lie is, and they have begun to follow the lie, began to repeat the lie. The lie has become a part of the society that we live in. Lie, or the society then, liar. And we, I wonder, why is it that the church, the evangelical church, why have they lined up with a lie and a liar?
And
I'm just watching waiting to see how God is going to turn all of this stuff around. Because we're working with young people, and who hears this on a regular basis, and they think they're gonna think it's okay to lie.
Yes,
it's okay to deceive people. And if it comes down to it, you're in a situation that's gonna cause you to be punished. It's okay to lie.
Yes.
So that's what where I have been, and the only thing that I have arrived at is this is the season of lies.
I know what you're speaking on that, Bishop. Where I work at Hardee's on my part-time job, there was a young man there. And as he was talking, he got to talking about different things. He's not a Christian man. And he got to talking about different things that he do. And we got to talking about the wrong end things. Once you give your life to Christ, the change that you have to make. And he was talking about smoking weed. He said, well, I asked the pastor. He said, because he started throwing everything towards everything that God made and things like that. Smoking weed's all right. You know, said he asked the pastor. Said the pastor told him, said as long as he don't indulge into doing certain things. And I said, the pastor told you that? He said, yes. So that's what the pastor said. And I told him, I said, well, you've been deceived. I said, you need to find you a true pastor that's going to be honest and tell you the truth and not what you want to hear. I said, because once you give your life to Christ and you make a change, you make a change completely. All the things that you know that's wrong, after you get saved, you put away, you get away from it. And then he got to talking about drinking. Said he asked the pastor about that. Was it bad to drink wine and stuff like that, said, because back in the Bible days, he threw back at us again. And I told him, I said, well, when you read the Bible, what you need to do, you need to go a little farther than just the scripture itself. You need to do research. on what you're reading and what it's really saying about certain things that you are asking questions about for yourself to where you will know. I suppose from what you're telling me, you've been deceived by the pastor, and I said he's going to be accountable for leading you down the wrong road. And I said, as me, I can't go along with what you're saying. I have to be honest and tell you the truth for the life that I live, or I'm going to be accountable for the wrong that I do or the wrong that I don't let you know about. And he listened. He didn't say nothing. He sat and he listened to what I was saying and everything. And, you know, I said, whether he takes it and uses it or whatever he does with it, the truth had been given to him through someone else. And even if he don't accept it, I feel that I did my part as far as giving him truth and being honest with him. And as a God-fearing man, Christ-like, living the life that God has given us as a Christian to live, we have to be truthful, straightforward. We can't cut corners with people. This is not a time to be lying to people because lives are at stake. We are supposed to let the people know whether they like it or whether they don't like it. I have to be one to encourage a young man in the best that I know how of what God can do for him because he's done it for me. And we don't have to push anything on people. I found that out. But we have to be honest with people because that's the way they look at you. If you lie to these young people and then they come around and they find out all you have been doing is feeding them lies, then that's the way they're going to look at you next time they see you. Now, if they go to somebody else and somebody else tells them something different, they're going to want to come to the one that was honest and truthful to them to find out the truth about things. So that's the reason why it's a difference in a man of truth and a man of lying. Because if they really want the truth, they know that they're going to come to the one that's going to be honest with them and give them the truth. So we have to be honest with these young men, whether they're not Christian or just become a child of God. Even if they've been a child of God for a while, you know, we all go through situations and struggles in our lives to where it's an ongoing situation on this journey, no matter how we look at it. And we all going to have struggles. But we have to let them know, even if they begin to give their life to Christ and the Lord's working with them through his spirit, he can teach them, and he brings other people into their lives just for that cause, the right people. And once he does that for them, all they have to do is accept that person, and that person give them truth and just talk to them. And everything, you know, doesn't always have to be about the Bible, the Word of God. You always have a point in time to share that part of life. But, you know, you talk to them about sports, things that they like and things like that, and God will open up at certain times in that conversation to share about him, to let them know, you know, the good news and everything. But one thing I found out, if you lie to them, the first thing they look at you and they'll call you a liar, they don't want to be around you, and they won't come back around you. They'll stay away from you because they feel that that's what you're going to do to them every time they come around. You're not going to be honest with them. So we have to continue on to encourage them with truth. And as long as we do that, to let them know we love them, we're praying for them. And I believe that we will be able to reach someone, because someone wants to hear the truth, and they just don't have anyone to give it to them.
Now, one thing that I will say is what's confusing, that pastor, is Genesis chapter 1, where God said that everything that he put in the earth, is for our good. It's for our good. And what's happening is people don't take time to sit with people and explain that to them, what that means. Now, weed is good for glaucoma. For medicinal purposes, weed is good.
Yes.
However, it's not talking about recreational weed.
That's right, in the way you use it.
People, and so that pastor should have made it clear that so when that young man reads that Bible and hears what's in it, then he will come into an understanding of what that means.
Yes.
And it is, because see, when you look at what's on the culture, it's alcohol.
That's right.
So, but it's not talking about the alcohol just going to the liquor store, the ABC store, whatever it's called, and getting yourself a bottle.
That's
right. Going and sit down and getting high. Nobody explained it to me that way. And whenever I learned that way, that made me think twice about the whole thing. It took it took the excitement out of it.
Yes.
And as a result of that, you start wondering, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So that's part of where that confusion comes from. With a lot of pastors, they just read a little bit, and because they didn't sit there and come in allow the Holy Spirit to lead them into an understanding. And then the young people, they want to discount whatever we have to say.
That's right.
Because they're gonna take whatever it is that, how am I saying this? Whatever it is, I know I took whatever it is that I wanted to do and did it and
just wrong with it.
That's right. That it was okay to do it. Mm-hmm. That there's nothing wrong, nothing at all wrong with drinking alcohol. There's nothing wrong with doing most of that stuff that I was doing. And you sit there and you say, well, the Bible says, and whenever you come into an understanding of what it meant, that's when you have that knowledge. And after that, it's left up to you to do the right thing. And you're right.
And the Bible
is you explain to the young man what it says, and also you explain to the young man that he has to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when that Holy Spirit speak to you, but see, the thing about it nowadays, people, a lot of people don't believe in the Spirit.
That's right.
And I know what I'm about to say, because some people are not going to want to hear it, but a lot of people talk about Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
When that was translated, you don't find that in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You find the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in Genesis, God said he breathed the breath of life into us, which means he put his Spirit into us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was a translation. The translators, whenever they were translating it from Hebrew to Greek, they're the ones that made that determination that the
mm-hmm.
word ghost and the word spirit mean the same thing. And when I was growing up, it didn't. Ghost was something bad. Spirit
was
something good.
And when people heard that, it made people fearful.
That's right. Absolutely right. And I always thought God was some monster that was just waiting for me to do wrong so he could beat up on me.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that all he was doing was chastising me because I wasn't doing the right thing. I
mm-hmm.
broke the law. I was disobedient. The same as my parents did to me. They disciplined me. And once I started looking at it that way, that's whenever I started seeing God through different lens. And that's whenever it really became meaningful to me. I was an adult whenever I got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And you're right.
The Bible lets us know that we have to get understanding.
That's right.
And that lets us know that we have to get the right understanding behind the Word of God. That's why we have to. Some people, they'll read a scripture and leave it at that by what it says, and they don't look at the other side of things by research and things that they should look at to get a full meaning.
Yeah, now that was what you just said is very important. You've got to look beyond what people tell you,
beyond what
people say that it is and say it means. And because a lot of what people tell you is not true.
That's
But it is not fully.
And my
whole thing was I did not complain, and that it was what I learned that was half true.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't complain and say that my ancestors, I didn't blame them, in other words.
Yeah.
Because they did not have the type of opportunities that we have today.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We have a whole different outlook and the things that we can do compared to what they had back then. They lived by what they thought was complete, even though it wasn't complete in the sense of getting a full understanding of what needed to be known. But we have that opportunity now. And the Bible, as we continue to look, and it tells us that we have to get understanding with the knowledge of things that we are looking and reading about. That understanding comes from digging a little bit deeper into the Word of God, so you can have a something to give somebody when they come out with something of the Scripture, that you can have a little bit more to give them on the other end of meaning that can help them understand the full truth and not part of the truth. And it's up to us. And like you were saying, that pastor, he should have set the young man down and talked to him and give him a full understanding of what the young man needed than what he thought. He took it for what he said, and he let it go. And that's the way that he knew it. And he didn't know no more than that. So that was on the pastor for not feeding him everything that he needed to understand and know about what he was asking. So he thought everything was right. And it was partially right, but not completely right. So that's where, when God gives us an opportunity to speak to someone or some of these young guys that need someone to talk to, they need to get them a spiritual friend that they trust and they believe in. And that spiritual friend needs to be true to the Word of God and let them know the right and the wrong in things. It don't necessarily mean that that young man might get saved at that point in time, but it's feeding him with something positive to help him along the way to see and understand that God can give him a better opportunity, not meaning that it's going to be easier in life as we go forth, because we all going to face something, regardless to being a child of God's or not. But we have someone we can go to, someone we can talk to ease the pain, to see us through. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He can do the impossible and help us through. And we have to let these young men know that this is the life that makes everything all right for them. They have to get an identity and a maturity in Christ to understand that if you trust the Lord enough and welcome him into your life, it don't mean every day is going to be the best day of your life. It don't mean that you're not going to go through struggles. But one thing I found out, instead of going to that bottle or going to that joint to burn that weed or whatever, or going out finding a woman satisfy all of my needs, and I go to Jesus, he can make everything all better than all of that mess that I ever had got myself into and thought that it was going to be all right with me. Because all it was, when I come through all of that, was another headache on the other end of it, waiting to do it all over again.
That's right. Okay.
You know,
so
we fell right back into the same mode. It lasted for a little while to get better, to get your focus off of it and everything. But when we call on the name of Jesus and we get in trouble, he can see us through and make everything all right. Even at our saddest moments, we're still not down and out to our worst. You know, that's the good thing about the Lord. When he works in your life, he can make everything all better. You can be walking down the street heartbroken deep down inside, but still yet, when people see you, you can still have a smile on your face and look at a person. And the Lord has a way of helping you to give them an encouraging word. And in that same encouraging word that he gives you to give them, it helps you, too, to lift your spirits. So we have to look at the situation from a spiritual sense to give to the unbeliever, to the young men that's struggling out there. You don't have to go out in the streets, fight, kill one another, and do these things that you're doing, running around, drugging it out, and all of this and that. Because there's a better life for you. There's a better way for you. You just need to have someone you can draw a little closer to that shows a little bit more love to you and pays a little bit more attention to you than just turning away from you. And that's what's happened to a lot of our young men. They don't have an older man into their life that they can look up to. And then they get so far gone that they get to that point, they don't care if they have anybody in their life to look up to or not. They just mean to the bone and don't care no more. So we just can't give up on them. We continue to pray and encourage the best that we know how and hope for the better for them, because this is the main reason that God blesses us to come on to do this show to each and every one, each and every young man, even some of the older men that need the same thing, that haven't found their way yet and doing the same old mess. It's a better way for you too, and it's time for you to pull it together and do your part so that these young men will have somebody to look up to in the family.
Yeah, and not be like they were when I was coming up.
Yeah.
The people I saw in the clubs were the people who was in church on Sunday morning.
Yes, me too.
And they were the ones that was supposedly the leaders. And I just thought it was all right, because they were doing it.
Yeah.
So if they can do it, I can do it too. God, they're God-fearing individuals. And because of that, that means, hey, I'm okay. But as you grow in the Word, you come into another level of understanding.
Yes.
And you realize, and you don't condemn them, because a lot of people believe once saved, always saved.
And yes, that's true.
No matter what I do, I'm saved. Well,
that's right.
That's partially true. Again, that's part of the lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's part
mm-hmm.
of the lie.
That's true. That's
because
true.
You are saved, yes, but you must show what? What's inside of you must change. And if the inside of you change, then the outward, your outwardness will change.
That's right.
The things that you've done, you won't enjoy doing them. The Holy Spirit will quicken you and let you know that, I shouldn't be doing this.
That's right. You'll be convicted.
That's right. And see, in the past, you did it, and because you won't listen to the Holy, Spirit, you looked over your shoulder, you woke up with a hangover, but you still thought it was all right. You told yourself that it was all right. That, I had a good time. Oh, that was some good booze I had. Or the ones who are doing the drugs. I know the boy there in Maryland years ago, the best basketball player out. He was getting ready. He had already signed. I can call his name because it's public. It's public knowledge. And his name was Len Byers.
He
OD'd, I'm calling it OD'd, on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe, because I was working at the Drug Abuse Planning Branch in Washington, D.C., the people, the addicts was running around talking about they wanted some of that drug that Lynn Byers had. They had to find some. Now, here is a drug, an external substance, killed this person who had everything going for him.
Yes, he did.
I mean, the boy was great. And
he was.
He's dead. And here now, I'm coming along. I'm an addict now. I want some of that drug. I want some of that Lynn Byers. I mean, whenever I heard that, I mean, that really tripped me out. How could you want something that's killed somebody?
Killed somebody.
You are not thinking it's going
to
kill you? Yes. I mean, if that high that they got was that good, I mean, to take you out of here, to take you into the next world.
And people
we have to think about. Yeah, we have to just think about what is it that we're doing to our young people.
That's right.
Or what is it
that
we haven't done to prepare them to want to live.
That's right.
I mean,
and that's what we have to do. Continue to help them on the field for the better. And, you know, we spend time trying to let them know that the love that we have for them, and they're looking at, well, why should they love me when my own parents don't care enough for me? A lot of young men have been hurt by family, and they feel as if any other person that they can't trust because they've been so hurt and wrapped up into a father that has abused them or hurt them in some kind of way that they feel that they can't trust someone. Or they feel like, well, no one has no interest in me. Why should I care if they don't care? And see, it's sad when you get these young men to that point in life to feel that no one cares just because the one that they love and thought that should have cared and loved them didn't care. And it's hard to reach some of them to that point because of the feelings that they have. But that don't mean that we should give up on them. We have to continue on, let them know there's someone that cares about you. Jesus loves you more than we do, but we love you. And we just want to be of some kind of encouragement to you in a way that they'll see that someone is really having an interest in them as a person and not treating them like a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
We have to let them know that there's love out there for them. You got to trust somebody. You can't distrust everybody because of someone that have hurt you in life. There's got to be a way that we can reach some of them somewhere along this journey. And every time I see one, I work with some at Hardee's. And this one young man, he's respectful and everything. And they see the way that I treat the women and the help that I do to give to them. And they begin to pick up. And they was talking about it the other day about the way that I carried myself, and I said, that's all God. If he hadn't changed me, I wouldn't have been able to carry myself in a respectful way that I do. And they have stepped on some of it. And the boss lady, she has responded to me to let me know how much they appreciated me for being the way that I am, because they can see it in some of the young men there. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I thank you, because it's not me. It's you that have worked within me, the Spirit of God that has changed my life and let me be the person I'm supposed to be. If I can't be that person in front of them, my thing is to move out of the way and move on.
Yeah.
Because
God
would have given me a job to do.
Yeah, and one other thing that we need to really be clear about, Jesus. People kept telling me, you need Jesus. You need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Nobody took the time to sit down and explain to me why I need Jesus. They told me I need Jesus so I can die and go to heaven. Well, I wasn't interested in dying. I was interested in living here on this earth. And
have a good time.
But also when I realized that I could be a follower of Jesus and still enjoy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't say that I was enjoying all the disobedience. I was being convicted. I was being convicted because this is a process. You know, you hear some people say, well, light, bright light came over me and knocked me down. And no, didn't happen to me. It was a process with me to get
process,
to where I
that's
am.
Right.
And so whenever we're going to do a program just on Jesus, who Jesus is, why Jesus is, and we're going to make for those of you who listen, we're going to make it clear that there's a distinction between the image, the pictorial image of Jesus and the Jesus of the Bible. And so that you don't get confused and say, well, Jesus is white, and I am won't be bothered with blue eyed, blonde hair, fair skin. Well, now here's where we go back to what you said. We need to do research. If they did their research, they will come into a different understanding of the complexion of Jesus. Because he doesn't look anything like that picture that we had. We don't have them anymore. Picture we used to have in our house of Jesus, because the Bible clearly states that we are not to make any graven image.
No, we're not.
So if it said we're not supposed to make a graven image, why is it that we accept the picture and that's an image? And
that's
that
right.
puts us into
that's
idolatry.
Right. That's right.
So, and now those of you who are listening say, yay. But whenever you see that image of black Jesus, to me, all you did was go from one extreme to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You went from a white to a black. Now, whenever the Jesus that I know is a spiritual being.
Amen.
His spirit, the word says his spirit is in us.
Mm-hmm.
So if his spirit is in us, I'm not concerned about what color Jesus is or Jesus was. And when I talk to my Muslim and Jewish friends, I don't get bent out of shape when they say, Jesus was a prophet. Well, he was a prophet, even in Christianity. He was a prophet. He was prophetic. He spoke prophetically. And whenever we begin to understand that, we don't get bent out of shape, because how is it that we are going to help others, lead others to Christ, if we're condemning them all the time?
I see.
I know. I was running from them Christians.
I was too. I was jumping and diving into stores, getting out of sight when I seen them come. Mm-hmm. Now, I know me and my wife, one time, it's been years back, we went to visit a church that she went to years back that got a new pastor and everything at the church. And we'd been a few times, and I really enjoyed the word that the pastor was. I wasn't a Christian then, but I enjoyed the word from the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He was giving some real encouraging stuff. But the thing was, he stood behind the pulpit and was deceiving people over the life that he was living. Because he was slipping out of town with one of the members having dinner with him, and also had a deacon, and the deacon would come around to take the money up, and you could smell the liquor on him when he'd come around for the church service. And I felt like, you know, if anybody knowed it firsthand that the deacon was drinking, it should have been the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever was said because he was too busy doing his thing after he put word of meeting this young lady out of town. And they had put him up in a home beside of the church. Well, later on, come to find out, they put him out of that home after they found out what really was going on. So that let me see and know then, you have pastors deceiving members and people of the church. You have deacons, people working within the church that's not doing what's right. And we have to realize, the Bible lets us know them that labor amongst us. We have to pay attention to things. We have to see things. Not that we have to come and most people say, well, there you go judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm just seeing what I see. I'm not judging anybody about anything outside of what I see. And if I see it, that's just it. And I had one guy, he's talking about, he just got out of church and everything and directing traffic when I come by. But as soon as I go out to the store for the wife and pick something up, who do I run into with a 12-pack of beer in his hand, just got out of church and went straight from working in the church and got his 12-pack. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I said, I see a lot of things that you know, I can't condemn anybody, and I don't judge anybody, but I just see what I see, and I let it go at that, and I pray for that person that God will bless them to get it right, to understand that this is no game, this is for real, and if you have the Spirit of God living within you, why would you say that you are a Christian and you're going out doing these things outside of the will of God, knowing the wrong in it? And it let me know everybody that says that they are or not. Like the Bible says, lets people know when God let them know that I never knew you. They talk about they prophesied in his name. They were dead in his name. They did certain things in his name, but he never knew them because they never got their hearts right. They were deceiving people. And that's the reason why when we look at the young people and they see these things, they feel like it's all right. They be like, well,
that's
hey,
right.
They
know.
Doing it. It must be all right for me to do it.
Yep, yep. And again,
that's the first thing they look
comes
at.
Right, And again, it comes right back to what you hear within the community, that once saved, always saved.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That is a half-truth statement. You are saved, yes. You don't lose it, no. But you can give it up by the way that you act. Because
by the way,
what's going,
that's right.
You're going to be judged on Judgment Day by what you did.
That's
and
right.
As a result of that, if you walked around and you didn't live a Christian life or a life like a follower of the teaching of Jesus, then he going to tell you to depart from me.
Right.
And so we have to be careful about what we say to these young people, because
yes, we do.
They're listening and they're looking. And also the other issue that we will address one night is young people now are much more intelligent and they have get more information than we did. So we have to be able to sit with them and not condemn them and help
That's
them
right.
to arrive at the truth. And
That's
I
right.
know I was watching Aliens the other day, and because of my understanding of the word, I didn't call them alien. They were the fallen angels.
Right.
There was those angels that was there with Lucifer, and they did their rebellion, and they got thrown out of heaven, right along with Lucifer. So,
yes, they did.
So, I as I watched the alien, I sit there and pump holes in. And the commentator, these authorities, these professors who and theologian and historian who were sitting there talking that stuff. And then they start talking about the giant and how large some of the people were. Well, you can go straight to the word. And you can see, I saw everything that they mentioned on that program. On in the word.
Yes.
And so if a young person walked up to me and talking about that and wondering, I could sit down with them and not do them the way we were done. Don't
yes,
talk
right.
about that boy. No, No,
that's right.
It's sacrilegious. I could sit there with them, okay, now, they are saying that those aliens came in and did this. Okay, what about the fallen angels? Let's go into the Bible, and we can pull scriptures out to show you what the angels were doing. What
That's right.
Prior to the flood. And them Nimrod. And all that crew and what they've done. And whenever you begin to sit with them and explain it to them that way, their eyes comes open. And they
That's
begin
right.
to see and understand what it is that they are looking at. And how
That's right.
how Satan is trying to deceive them. Deceive them. You know, that lie, the definition of that lie. He's working overtime, and once he get them deceived, then he got them where he wanted them. He can
control
them.
And they right out there into it. Clean your
own... Yep.
It seems like we're just close to the end of things. And close out and thank God for everything and just blessing us to come together again to go through another amazing show. and shalom.
Okay, but wait a minute. There was somebody. Are you at your computer?
That's one of our brothers at the church. He don't never come out and speak and say nothing. But I text him.
Okay.
And asked him to listen in if he didn't have nothing to do. But we do want to remember him and his companion because they are in, and they both had COVID. But he was in, and he decided to come in with us tonight and listen in. And we do appreciate you, brother, for coming on and being with us tonight and everything. Now, I'm going to turn your mic on, brother. Just wanted to know if you wanted to say anything.
I enjoyed the show.
And we wanted to make sure that you and the wife is doing good. We're praying for you. We love y'all.
Well, thank you, and God bless you.
Yes, sir.
And also you, brother. All right. Shalom.
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 Praise the Lord till we do it again.